Morning, morning, morning.
It's the boss. I call shot
like a blow. In the gloss. My lip gloss,
I only rock clear. On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson. I got
that. Good morning, everyone, and we are here, what's called the morning after. You were up late watching the NFL draft, and what a night it was.
What a night it was, and I'm willing to take what I'm being given by producer Ron today. I deserve it. It's okay.
Okay, so here we sit. Woo. I'm David Gow, Carla Dawson. We got Ron Culver behind the glass. Carla Dawson, a longstanding Raider fan from Cradle, and, of course, Ron Culver, a wild-eyed,
my division rival,
long-suffering Chargers fan. And the Chargers did pretty well last night. Ron, you're delighted. I see a smile on your face today.
Oh, no, I was excited. I mean, I know it's not a sexy pick, but it was a, you know, we went need over best. Or wait, we actually, it was best available, too, I think.
Both. I mean, Slater, by all accounts, is either the first or the second best tackle in the draft. And to get him to protect Justin Herbert, which is the prize of the Chargers right now, it just feels like a great pick.
Just need to keep him upright. That's all that matters.
He did not allow one sack last season. Not one.
Is that good?
It's impressive.
I don't know. Ask Deshaun Watson how he would feel about that.
Chargers are living right now because, of course, to get Herbert last year and to get Slater this year is a great 1-2 punch.
And he plays in the Big Ten. I mean, that's impressive.
Yep.
His father, Reggie, played in the NBA. That's kind of cool.
That is kind of cool.
Yeah, athletics.
Reminding us of Calvin Hill and Grant Hill.
That's right.
A father-son combination who played in the NBA and the NFL. And then your Raiders, you've got a head-scratching pick last night.
Oh, my goodness. Like, I think Alex Leatherwood, great character, great guy. I saw him as a middle second-round pick.
Yeah.
Maybe a top second round at best. I think he fills a need. And all that, I just don't like the value. I'm not questioning the player. I'm questioning the decision and the position.
Well, so many things unfolded last night. The 49ers, with a bit of surprise, taking Trey Lance. That wasn't an outrageous surprise, but Mac Jones had been the name linked to them for so long, and the storyline was, would they really take Mac Jones at number three? And then the answer was no. Actually, they're going to take Trey Lance. So many storylines. When we come back,
your Dallas Cowboys had a nice pick.
We'll take a look at the Cowboys pick. Well, look at that NFC East. It was 10, 11, and 12. A lot of activity. Cowboys, Eagles, and Giants all moving around. All that and more when we return here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
The Boss.
And the Gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. Day one of the NFL draft is now complete. And I guess the first surprise of the night was the 49ers taking Trey Lance. Everyone had linked Mac Jones to them. You watched Shanahan in his post-draft conference, and you got confidence that they've really made the right decision.
Yeah, I love the reasoning. I saw a post-interview with Shanahan and John Lynch together talking about how this came about. And Kyle Shanahan was basically saying, we just needed to get up there to that three spot. And while we liked Mac Jones enough to go, we could totally do that at three.
Yeah, you wouldn't make that move unless there was one guy you knew that was worth that move. And then you can consider others.
Totally. And I think Mac Jones fills his Kirk Cousins, you know, kind of thing that he loves.
Yep.
His Jimmy Garoppolo, if he can stay healthy, kind of thing that he loves. Like a really talented quarterback that in the right system will do well. But what he said was that getting up to number three allowed them the assurance that, okay, we know who's going to be available. Everybody with two quarterbacks. And so they got to do a super deep dive into all these guys. And when he pulled up the tape on Trey Lance, he texted John Lynch on a Sunday night late and said, I'm sending over some tape. I'm obsessed. And John Lynch watched that tape till 2:30 in the morning, which was 17 games in Trey Lance's college career. But they said, you know, Kyle Shanahan, yesterday we had on an analyst who was talking about Lance Erline, how really the way to evaluate is not looking for all the things these guys do wrong, but start listing and quantifying all the things they do right. And Kyle Shanahan mentioned that last night. He said, when I got to plus 109 of what I liked about it, I was like, okay, I'm done. I can't keep doing this. Like, I love this guy. So I think they just being in the position, trading, giving up what they did to be in that position, allowed them to dig deep. And they asked, you know, is there a risk? He's had 17 college games and he plays coming out of the FCS. And Kyle Shanahan said, there's a risk with every pick you're going to take. And that was a risk we're willing to take.
No doubt. And when you bring up Lance Erline's comment that you've got to look for what a quarterback can do, not necessarily what he cannot do, it reminds me, it was sort of interesting when they traded up to number 3 and everyone was trying to get their head around Mac Jones and that offense. Everybody said, oh, but Shanahan, both Shanahans, Kyle and his father, have done well with quarterbacks like a Kirk Cousins or a Matt Schaub, those sorts of mechanical quarterbacks.
Pocket passers.
Pocket passers, not particularly athletic quarterbacks. But there was also a quarterback who was very, very athletic, had the ability to run around and throw the ball very well, who played for a Shanahan, which was John Elway with the Broncos.
Sure.
And it's not that the Shanahans don't want that athleticism. And so to get, obviously there's a much higher ceiling that you get with Trey Lance than you would with a Mac Jones. And while Shanahan may have turned Mac Jones into a Hall of Famer ultimately, it's much more likely if there's a Hall of Famer on the roster of the 49ers at quarterback, it would be Trey Lance. Mm-hmm. So it will be fascinating to watch the way they bring him along. Jimmy G is still there.
And they talked very highly about him last night.
Well, look, they didn't trade him to the Patriots as long rumored. They didn't trade him at all. And given that Trey Lance doesn't have a great long collegiate history, there's probably more development time required for Trey Lance. And to have Jimmy G there as the Alex Smith to the ultimate Patrick Mahomes type scenario.
He's learned from the best in Belichick, Brady, and now Shanahan. My gosh.
It's a pretty good 1-2 punch that the 49ers have achieved. I guess the only question here is, yeah, they gave up a whole lot to get to that number 3 spot. But if Trey Lance develops into the man they think they will have, yeah, that's a worthwhile trade.
And, you know, they were able to give up a whole lot because they have drafted so brilliantly since John Lynch has come.
Mm-hmm.
So you think about the pieces that they have around them and then the few trades that they have made, like the trade for Jimmy G. And John Lynch said, you know, Jimmy G is an outstanding player. You know, his only issue has been his ability to stay on the field. I mean, we can't have him out there all the time. He's missed significant time. But as far as what we have as a talent, and look at the pieces around them with George Kittle and all, you know, Samuel, everybody that they've got around them, if they are healthy, which last year was just absolutely a joke.
They were devastated by such a brutal injury bug.
So I think that they gave up a lot, but they have been very diligent and very great in drafting the past several years that allowed them to do so.
Okay, thumbs up on the 49ers draft.
Yes, amen.
And if you're going to do that, though, you have to give some recognition to the Chicago Bears because they gave up a whole lot less to go and get a quarterback who may ultimately even be better than Trey Lance. We'll all see. Nobody really knows Justin Fields, Trey Lance. But some people thought Justin Fields was the second best quarterback in the draft. And when he fell to 11, the Bears pounced. And what they gave up was a first round next year. And then we were trading some other picks latter parts of the draft. But really, that was not a whole lot of draft capital to go up and get perhaps the second best quarterback in the draft.
I thought that move, I did not expect that out of Chicago because I don't have a lot of faith in GM Ryan Pace, who traded up to get Trubisky, and that will always be on his resume. This, to me, looked like a Matt Nagy, we've got to do this. And you know what? I applaud Chicago for doing this. Yes, they gave up a lot, but they got the 2-time Big Ten Offensive Player of the Year.
Yep.
I mean, in Justin Fields, a talent. Chicago is not a quarterback mecca. We all know this. They've never had a quarterback that looks like this.
Don't forget Bob Avellini. You don't even know his name, do you?
No, hopefully I wasn't even born at that point.
No, you were not.
But I just think that they drafted for their future. This is not a project. Justin Fields is not a project. They swung big, and they should. This is the time to do it, and I'm really impressed. I mean, really
impressed.
Listen,
going into the draft and sitting at number 20, you never would have thought one of the elite quarterbacks would fall. So great kudos to them. And like Jimmy G, to Trey Lance, there is Andy Dalton to Justin Field. I think Field is more ready to play, frankly, than Trey Lance.
Oh, he is plug-in ready.
But great to have Andy Dalton there. That's a great bridge quarterback at the very least. So suddenly the Bears quarterback room looks a whole lot better.
It looks a whole lot better. And, you know, let's talk about Justin Fields a minute. He never lost a game in the Big Ten.
Mm.
Never. In his 2 years at Ohio State. And that's not easy competition. I also, if I'm Ryan Pace, I'm looking at that 2017 draft that put mud all over my face and going, okay, should have taken Mahomes or should have taken Watson. So if I'm looking at this pack of quarterbacks, who looks the most like Mahomes and Watson? That's Justin Fields. So I don't know if there's anything to that, but if I'm thinking what I missed, I want someone looking like that. Those two guys have shown they can, they're not only NFL ready, they're Super Bowl winning and record setting, both Watson and Mahomes.
So one of the fun things that happened last night is quarterbacks were reunited with their receivers.
And, or running backs, Trevor and Trevis.
Well, then you got that too. Those two go together. Jaguars picking up two Clemson stars, and what a dynamic duo they are. I thought Etienne was a Travis was a bit of a luxury pick. I mean, they've got a good running back there. They have many other needs, but he's such a great complement to Trevor Lawrence. I mean, when Lawrence is under pressure, he can throw it out into the flat to his running back, whom he knows, whom he's played with. It's a really great combination
great
that they
connection.
Bring to the Jaguars.
Yes, it's easy. There's going to be no adjustment there.
But what I was alluding to was you've got Tua reunited with Jalen Waddle.
Right.
And you've got Jalen Hurts reunited with Devontae Smith.
And you've got Joe Burrow reunited with Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah, three reunions. Oh, Ron, you didn't even know this was coming. Look at him.
Okay.
He's showing off now.
Okay, let me just say, I'm going to date myself here, which is not a good idea. Ron, last night I'm texting with my NFL crazed daughter, and I said, oh my gosh, when she said, Mom, Trevor and Travis together again, I said, reunited and it feels so good. Prin, look up Peaches and Herb, you'll know what I'm talking about.
And she didn't know that song until you had to tell her,
well,
right?
Yeah, because she's 22.
Oh.
So there we go.
She's the mini-me.
Ron, nice.
No, but I mean, four teams yesterday. We got good reunification, reunited for the quarterbacks. I mean, it felt very good last night.
Fest.
It was fun watching.
I see you tearing up over there.
Of course.
How can you not? It's Peaches and Herb.
Ron's a softie.
See, I kind of thought the Bengals and Dolphins were going to do that.
Yeah.
I had this feeling that they were going to do, you know, Ja'Marr Chase was going to go to the Bengals, and then it was either Waddle or Smith was going to go to the Dolphins. I did not see the Eagles reuniting Jalen Hurts with Devontae Smith.
I thought that's
fantastic.
I love that. I think that is so cool. I wonder if this is a record for this many duos in the first round.
Okay. Of those,
Ron, I'd really like you to play Peaches and Herb.
What's your favorite duo?
How do you shake your groove thing. You know what I'm saying?
What duo do we think is the best? I mean, those are some strong combinations. I would not say Jalen Hurts and Devontae Smith because I think Hurts hasn't shown us enough.
Oh, see, I think that's going to be – that might be one of my faves.
You like that one better than
–
Well, the one thing that does – I mean, even though the Eagles haven't came out and said it, to me it feels though the Eagles have said, Jalen Hurts, you're our starting quarterback.
Yep.
Instead of rock, paper, scissors like Sirianni wants to do. Yeah, I think that's a much better – I like that one.
I think that was the way –
Maybe you should tell Nick about that
just
method.
Kind of like a backdoor way of saying, Jalen Hurts, you're our guy.
Yep.
We got you the weapon that you're familiar with. Now go out and do it.
Yep.
That's exactly what I thought when they drafted him last
time. To your question, David, I think my favorite is Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne. Now, I don't think they didn't need it, but you have a young quarterback that you're trying to get him NFL ready. And what better way than say you have a guy in the backfield that knows you. You know exactly where he's going to be.
Yep.
You know exactly where he wants the ball. There's a comfort level there.
Yep. And then the same for Etienne, actually, with Lawrence. And you know, we talked with Lance Zierlein yesterday, and he said, Urban Meyer is tough. He is tough on these athletes. Like, that's going to be a tough transition. So it's kind of nice to have someone in the trenches with you that you've been in the trenches.
Well, I'm sure they're going to be roommates on road trips.
Sure.
You know, why not, right?
Or as long as Marissa doesn't mind. Scooch over, honey. Travis is coming too.
I'm going to highlight Burrow though, along Ja'Marr Chase.
That's
a great duo they were in LSU. It may be too easy. It won't be easy unless the Bengals get some good linemen here on day two, because they didn't take the offensive tackle.
No,
I mean, Penei Sewell was there. They went wide receiver, but they've got a got him some protection here on day two. And there are some good offensive tackles available. So I suspect they'll fortify that front line very quickly.
Yeah.
All right. When we come back, we're going to talk to Dan Shonka of Our Lads. He is an NFL draft guru. We'll ask him what team made the best decisions on day one and what team made the worst. That'll be Dan Shonka when we return on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to The Boss
and The Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
All right, one of the interesting developments last night was that the Panthers and the Broncos back-to-back took cornerbacks. J.C. Horn, Patrick Surtain, both elite corners. And really, if you'd looked at any mock draft, there would have been a corner to fall to the Cowboys at number 10. Cowboys have an acute need to take a cornerback at number 10, and they were both gone, defying everyone's predictions. And it put the Cowboys in a spot that maybe they didn't anticipate. Now, this morning, Cowboys brass said, well, we had to game plan that possibility that the corners would be gone, and they were gone. So then they sat there at number 10, and they need help on defense. They could also use some depth on the offensive line, given the injury history. But they made the decision to trade back and get still the guy they probably would have taken at 10. And so the trade seemingly enhanced their total draft haul.
I thought it was brilliant. For all the heat that Jerry's been taking during the Cowboys this past week or two, it was a great move.
Well, let's come back to that because we've got Dan Shonka now joining us. He's from ourlads.com. Dan's an NFL guru. Dan, welcome onto the show. You've gone with David and Carla. Welcome back.
Well, hey, that was a short, I think we just visited yesterday, didn't we?
Yes.
We don't even have 12 hours that separate us, Dan.
A little more exciting today now that we know where some of these guys landed. So, and a lot, I tell you, there's several really good players that are going to be ready
there
to roll here in round two.
Well, let's start there. Who are you really excited about at the top of round two?
Well, you know, I really like Azeez Ojulari from Georgia. And the big thing there is, I heard scuttlebutt about a knee because, I mean, we had him in the middle of the first round. Mm-hmm. This guy is I think he's just going to be an annual Pro Bowl player, just a terrific pass rusher. And but I heard scuttlebutt about a knee, and he played, you know, after his surgeries for a couple of years. So I don't know if that had anything to do with it, but he's a great one. I think Asante Samuel, the corner, he's not going to last long. Trevon Moehrig, safety from TCU. Elijah Moore from Mississippi, explosive wide receiver, who we like. I was surprised on some of the guys when they went because, you know, Dave Gettleman, he jettisoned Beckham out of there. Then he brings in a guy that's maybe more vocal and got a little bit of questionable stuff, you know, and Tony from Florida. So yep, we'll see how that works out. Christian Barmore, big mm-hmm. defensive tackle. So those guys are going to start rolling off, and there's some really terrific. Tevin Jenkins, big tackle from Oklahoma State. So there's really good tackles and corners left for the second round.
So we're talking to Dan Shonka of ourlads.com. I wanted to first ask you about what teams draft most impressed you, and then what teams draft most disappointed you?
Well, I think the Raiders just jump out at me. I mean, they took a third-round guard tackle,
exactly,
in the middle of first round, for heaven's sakes. I mean, they could have got Leatherwood, anywhere in that second, third round. I mean, if they loved him that much, but they had him way over his skis there. And I thought that the Miami Dolphins hit a home run with Waddle and Phillips. Phillips, defensive end from Miami. Of course, Waddle, the explosive wide receiver return guy. I mean, there's just a terrific – they walk out of there with two really good players. I think New Orleans reached again for a defensive end in Peyton Turner. You know, they blew their pick a couple years ago with Marcus Davenport, and I don't know who's doing their defensive ends, but boy, I'll tell you what, that's really questionable. I'll tell you what, now the Jets, we didn't have Zach Wilson up as high as other people. He's talented. I think that, we're going to have to see how he holds up. I mean, there's a lot of question marks there, but one place there's no question mark is Elijah Vera Tucker.
Snagged
Love him that. with 14th overall pick, and he is a great football player. So that's just scratching the surface a little bit. Of course, I love Mac Jones going to the Patriots. And there is three spots I would love to see Mac go. I think it was perfect for him to go at 3 to San Francisco. I thought that Carolina would have been a sweet spot for him. But, man, he hit the home run there going to New England.
Yeah, agreed. And then, you love Belichick just sitting there and having Mac Jones fall into his lap. And he seems like the cerebral type of player that Belichick just absolutely loves. But tell me this. How do you feel, Dan, about what Carolina did at the 8 spot? I mean, I'm thinking you bring in Sam Darnold, and Sam's whole issue, besides having Adam Gase as a head coach, was that there was no one around to help him, meaning his own personnel. And I while J.C. Horn, obviously, one of the top corners in the draft, if not the best, is great, he is not a help to Darnold. How do you look at that pick? Do you think they should have drafted a tackle or a wide receiver like Devontae Smith? Do you like that pick at 8?
Well, I tell you, yes. I mean, J.C. Horn now is a great – they needed a corner, okay? And he's arguably the first or second best corner here. I mean, I know why they went with Horn instead of Surtain, for instance, because of J.C. Horn has got some swag to him now, man. I mean, here's a guy that's going to knock you down and then – point at you and say, hey, don't be throwing my way again. You know what I mean? And he's really a terrific player. But I think this, I know what Carolina was thinking. Okay, and you're right. We got to get some protection for Darnold. But at 39, they're going to have some really good offensive tackles in there. And so I think they decided to go that direction. Because, Jalen Mayfield, who we love, we had him late in the first round. He didn't work out great. His workout wasn't super, but he's gonna be there, okay? And then you got Tevin Jenkins, he's gonna be there. There's gonna be Dylan Raddatz from North Dakota State, really a outstanding tackle. So there's gonna be a tackle there for them. I think that's why they went ahead and took J.C. Horn.
And what about Walker Little, the tackle out of Stanford?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't take him in the second round. I'd probably take him in the third or fourth round because, hey, you haven't seen a guy for 2 years,
Right.
But again, another tackle. I mean, there's a lot of tackles in that second and third round area, and I think that's why Carolina did what they did.
We got just about a minute for you to tell us whether the Bears really got it right this time going up and getting Justin Fields.
Hey, we love Justin Fields, okay? He was one of our top three quarterbacks, so I have no problem there. And they wanted to get a mobile quarterback. They had to get some splash up there. They needed a quarterback. Hey, let's face it. I mean, Dalton, I mean, he's a placeholder right now. Foles can't do it. I mean, lightning struck a it was lightning in a bottle a few years ago in Philadelphia, but Foles is just a guy. And hey, now you got a dynamic, electric player. So did the Bears get it right? Hey, only tell they got the right player. Hopefully he'll get coached. That's the, they already proved that they can't coach, they couldn't coach Trubisky because he had some talent and he did some good things, took him to the playoffs a couple of years, and they want to jettison him out of there. So now I think Justin Fields will give some electricity to that fan base and to their locker room.
Fantastic. Dan, always enjoy your commentary, your analysis. Thank you so much for joining us. That's Dan Shonk of rlads.com. Take care.
Thank you.
The Boss.
And The Gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao.
And Carla Dawson.
Okay, so I think one of the key moments in the draft was when both corners had been taken off the board, 8 and 9,
right,
and the Cowboys at 10, everybody had them taking either J.C. Horn or Patrick Surtain. And the Cowboys are sitting there at 10, Giants at 11, Eagles coming up at 12. And there you have three division rivals all in a row, and not one of them is really settled on what to do. At that moment, the Eagles clearly want DeVonta Smith, and they probably figured out the Giants had eyes for DeVonta Smith, and DeVonta Smith is an extraordinary talent. And both the Giants,
the Heisman winner,
yeah,
he's okay.
And both the Giants and the Eagles desperately need help at the wideout spot. They would both love to get him. And Howie Roseman of the Eagles makes the move. Let's talk about the Eagles first. He trades up from 12 to 10, something we've seen him do in the past when he traded up years ago ahead of the Texans to get Andre Dillard at offensive tackle. This time he jumps over the Giants to get DeVonta Smith, gets the receiver he wants. They took a receiver last year in the first round, TCU's wideout Rager, but they now get DeVonta Smith the pair, and the Giants are left sitting there missing out on the wide receiver whom they coveted.
No, but I thought it was a great move for both sides. And we talked about yesterday in the pre-draft show, watch for Howie Roseman.
Yep.
He's a trade master. Like, he's going to do something. And sure enough, he did. And I think what I love that he did was, I think this gives us the message that Jalen Hurts is our guy.
Yep.
No matter how weird Nick Sirianni's press conferences are about we do rock, paper, scissors for competition. Okay, that's great. I think it solidifies that, and it does Jalen Hurts and DeVonta Smith a favor. They have great chemistry. They have played together. They have been very successful together. This is great. I love it.
So the Eagles at 10 get DeVonta Smith. Cowboys traded back to 12. The cornerbacks were gone. It was too early to take an injured Caleb Farley or a recovering
Agreed.
Caleb Farley. Although they might have given him a good look. Greg Newsome, another great corner, was really going to be a second half of the first round talent. So it was too early to go corner, and they went with the best player available, or at least the best defender available, in Micah Parsons, an outstanding linebacker out of Penn State, and he will really help that defense.
And if you heard that post interview of his drafting, he's an outstanding man too. What a well-spoken, humble, gracious, just, you know, and his family being lifelong Dallas fans, they about came out of their skins when he got called. That was a cool moment, and I thought an absolutely un-Jerry fantastic pick for the Cowboys. It wasn't splashy, it wasn't sizzly, but it was absolutely spot on the right pick. It's an amazing pick by Dallas.
Well, what it does is you can then say, oh, at number 10, everybody thought they were going to get Patrick Surtain. Would you rather have Surtain at 10, or do you have Parsons at 12 plus, whom they're going to get with the third round pick they got through the trade, which is number 84 overall? And there will be talent at 84. So they'll get Parsons plus that 84th pick as a way to trump the loss of Patrick Surtain going at number 9. So the Cowboys sit there. The only mystery to me about the Micah Parsons selection is linebacker.
What it does to the personnel that's currently
well,
there.
Well, yeah, because linebacker, if everyone's healthy, linebacker is not as big a need, say, as cornerback. But the problem is, for the Cowboys, they haven't had a healthy linebacking crew. Leighton Vander Esch had been
exactly.
very injury-prone, and they just haven't been able to rely on him to be on the field. Jalen Smith has been up and down in his career. Many sort of fault Mike Nolan's defense last year for not playing to Jalen Smith's strengths. But now they've got Smith.
After giving him a big fat contract, yeah.
Yeah, he got the contract and then he didn't play as well. But nobody really questions Smith's commitment, Smith's hustle, Smith's effort level. It just didn't seem to be the right fit. He was just often in the wrong place. So you got Jalen Smith, you've got Leighton Vander Esch, and now you bring in Micah Parsons. But Parsons is so athletic that he could probably line up in a number of places. I could see him on the field in a nickel package because
yep.
he's so quick. He can cover backs out of the backfield. That's something that Jalen Smith struggled with last year. I think Parsons just brings an overall athleticism and speed to that defense.
Speed
one of the
and
things
size,
that,
exactly.
Yeah, one of the things the Cowboys talked about is they needed more speed on that defense. They had a lot of length and strength, but they were lacking speed, and there Micah Parsons delivers.
Well, and I've heard from several draft analysts that Micah Parsons is the best defensive player in the draft. So credit the Cowboys. That's their biggest need, as we've talked about. I mean, they had the most points scored against them ever last season. It's a real need, and I think they filled it beautifully. You should be proud of your boys this morning.
Well, when you talk about the Cowboys and all that pre-draft banter, so there was always, what crazy thing will Jerry Jones do? Wildcat and Jerry, here he comes. You never know with Jerry. And you just said, wow, that wasn't a flashy thing. But they haven't been that flashy. In the last 10 years, they've taken more offensive linemen in the first round than just about any team, and that's not a flashy pick. They've taken linebacker Leighton Vander Esch.
CeeDee Lamb was flashy, but he was available, so you take that.
Yeah, CeeDee Lamb was the if you go back, CeeDee Lamb is the one flashy pick in the last 10 years. Of course, they traded a first-round pick for Amari Cooper, so they've gotten two great wide receivers using first-round capital. But they have pretty much played their board, and they played their board last night. I think that they would have loved to have gotten a corner because that would have been the perfect intersection of talent and need. Linebacker, a lesser need, but they may have gotten a better talent. As you said, Micah Parsons, perhaps the best defensive player in the draft.
And, you know, still available. Like, we've got rounds 2 and 3 tonight, which I'm setting up shop right in front of that TV at 6 p.m. Central.
A lot of talent to come.
And safety, Trevon Moehring out of TCU, to me, it's a great pick for Dallas.
Yep.
I mean, it's not a corner, but they love to use safety. So, in Dan Quinn's defense.
You're absolutely right. Dan Quinn values the safety position more than the Cowboys traditionally have. And there are three defenders, I think. He would be great for them. I love Asante Samuel as a corner for them. Christian Barmore from Alabama, they could shore up that defensive tackle spot. If you add Barmore and Parsons to that defense, one of the big weaknesses last year was defending against the run. They had all those injuries on the interior part of the line. And to get those two kinds of talents would be very satisfying for the Cowboys. So they sit in the second round at number 10, and then they've got three picks in the third round. They have their own, they have the Eagles from the trade, and then they have a compensatory pick at the end of the third. So they have some ammunition there with third-round picks. They could probably use one of those thirds and the number two to trade up to the top of the second round and get almost anybody they want here at the top of the second round. It'll be fascinating to see what else they can do to shore up that defense. So Eagles get Devontae, Cowboys trade back and get Micah Parsons, and then there were the Giants. They were missing out on Devontae Smith because Roseman traded up ahead of them. And at 11 then, what to do? And it seemed like given what was available to them, they made a good move to trade back.
They made a great move. Oh, my gosh. I mean, they got the 20th pick.
Yep.
They're getting a fifth rounder. And next year, they're going to get a first and a fourth.
Yep.
That is a great move.
Yep. And so the Bears get their quarterback, but the Giants get Tony in the first round this year. And the Giants have a real portfolio of weapons now when you consider they signed Galladay in free agency. They add Tony. And they've got this running back coming back from injury named Saquon Barkley.
Oh, yeah.
Daniel Jones is going to have to perform this year.
Well, and you know what I think what they got in return from Philly for doing this is they got the first and the fourth, a fourth next year. So this gives them, to me, I don't know if Dave Gettleman is thinking this way because who knows what Dave Gettleman is thinking, but you've got another year to evaluate Daniel Jones. And if you need to move on from him, you have now the draft capital to be able to do so. Whether you're going to pick up someone in the draft or you're going to trade a first rounder and change for someone else. So because Russell Wilson could possibly be in the market next year. Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers. So you've got veteran options, and then you also have draft capital to get someone high up in the draft.
Yeah,
I think it's brilliant.
That draft capital could be very strategic. If Daniel Jones fails them, they'll have at least two number ones next year. So intriguing to watch. Now, the Aaron Rodgers story really loomed over the whole draft.
Wow.
It was an amazing revelation that on the eve of the draft that Aaron Rodgers, more explicitly than ever, is now ready to move on. He does not want to be a Packer next year. A stunning turn of events. And there are different narratives as to what's gone wrong. It's hard to unpack or really know. We haven't heard Aaron Rodgers say directly, I've wanted out ever since they took Jordan Love. Or I want out because they're not paying me enough money. I don't know that we have a direct, explicit thing, or it may just sort of be a combination of factors. But when I go back to the Jordan Love decision, clearly he wasn't happy. Clearly he would have loved that they would not have drafted Jordan Love. He would have loved.
Tell him that you're doing this beforehand. Don't find out. That's my issue, and that's what we're dealing with here in Houston with with Deshaun Watson.
Yep.
Is let your franchise guy know, hey, this is what we're doing.
Yep.
I'm just letting you know.
Yep.
Don't let them hear over social media or as we're hearing about it as it unfolds on TV.
Yeah, like, communication is a big lever.
If he's that corner piece for your foundation of your franchise, let him in on those big time decisions. You trade up to take a quarterback, you've got to tell him. You've got to tell him what you're doing.
Well, when they got Jordan Love, I can't imagine he was happy because they didn't use a receiver or anybody to help him out.
Clear.
He was very upset, right? Yet he came out and had an incredible year. I mean, one thing that was striking to me, when I go back about when they brought in Matt LaFleur, there was a narrative that Rodgers and LaFleur weren't going to get along.
And why did they bring in LaFleur? Who wanted Mike McCarthy gone?
Aaron Rodgers.
There we go.
Then they bring in LaFleur, and there were questions whether Rodgers was receptive to what LaFleur wanted to do with the offense. But they worked through that, and they actually were very good together.
He's the NFL MVP.
Things have gone well on the field.
Yes.
And so in light of that, you think, what's the deal? I mean, these guys, it's so hard to create success, sustained success in the NFL. And the Packers and the Rodgers have had it for a long, long time. And yet something is really broken there. There was a story in NFL Network today that makes it look a lot about money, that he really wants a big, long extension of a lot of money. And if that's true, if it's just about the money, then solve that, because the Packers have so much with Aaron Rodgers. They are. I really thought they were
going to. Got him under contract for 2 more years.
I know, but he wants more money. That doesn't keep anybody from asking for a renegotiated deal, right?
Right.
So,
no, I know. And if I'm him and I see what's been going on, like he was the highest paid quarterback for a minute.
Yeah.
And then it was Russell Wilson for a minute. And then it's Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. And then it's, you know, Dak Prescott's in that mix. It just keeps, this is the game of the NFL. This is the game that you have to play. And so rightfully so. He's the NFL MVP. He has carried this franchise for years. He also is a prickly dude. And we know this about him. And I think something to note is that who knows personally what's going on with Aaron Rodgers, meaning he's now engaged to his actress girlfriend, Shailene Woodley. Woodley, can't remember exactly her name. And he's possibly got Jeopardy, no joke, you know, in his future. Maybe he wants, you know, he's kind of getting ready to move on, or who knows what it is. I don't think he's done with football. That's not what I'm saying. But, you know, that could have something to do with it. And I don't know. He's a prickly dude, though. And I have to say that Green Bay really has done what he's asked for, with the exception of the Jordan Love situation, because he does need weapons. Yes, he's got a few good pieces, but compared to other elite quarterbacks, no, he doesn't have enough.
Fascinating times. I mean, a talent like Aaron Rodgers, perhaps available in the marketplace, is a stunning.
Russell Wilson, perhaps available.
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson, definitely available.
Right.
Please, someone take him.
Right.
That kind of thing. Yes, it's crazy. It's crazy. Wow, on any given Sunday, right?
All right, when we come back, we are going to look at, I would call the Shamrock Luck, of the Patriots, to get Mac Jones at number 15. We'll unpack what that means for the future of the New England Patriots. That up next when we return on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to The Boss
in the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. All right, when we went to break, Ron Culver walked in here, and he has a big prediction for this upcoming season. He has a prediction about Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars. Trevor Lawrence, you got a stat on him that's really impressive.
Yeah, I saw this last night, and it's mind-boggling. I can't wrap my head around it, really, that Trevor Lawrence at some point this coming season will lose his first regular season game ever.
Ever.
And you're talking about going back to high school.
Going back to high school. His last regular season loss probably came when he was like 7 or 8 years old.
Yeah, there might have been that heartbreaking Little League loss. But to go to run the table all through high school and all through college is an extraordinary run. Just winner with a capital W.
And he played at the highest level. I mean, national championship.
So what we're saying is the Jaguars will go 17-0.
17-0.
17-0. That's your prediction, right?
Mark it down right now. They're going to go 17-0 right now. But then lose in the first round of the playoffs, because that seems to be the pattern.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Wow. Astounding.
That's amazing for Lawrence. What was amazing for the Patriots is that Mac Jones fell to 15.
Of course he did.
Belichick didn't have to trade up, didn't have to use extra draft capital. The quarterback he probably most wanted that just fits where New England would want him. He fell. He's there. Mac Jones, a New England Patriot.
I think it's all in the dog. Nike, the German Shepherd, is Bill Belichick's, like, good luck charm. Yeah. Remember he was sitting in the draft chair last year?
No, he made the picks last year. And it didn't go so well, but this year they're off to a heck of a start.
Oh, wow. I think it's a great pickup for both sides. You know, my only concern is there enough in New England? Because I think that Mac Jones is outstanding. He's an outstanding snap taker. He's really smart. Belichick loves smart guys. He's drafted a lot of Stanford guys. He likes the cerebral player, and he's got that in Mac Jones. I just don't know that he's a playmaker, and I'm not sure. I know they had a spending spree in the offseason. To me, it remains to be seen if this is enough for Mac Jones to succeed. How do you feel?
Well, right now they've got two great tight ends they've signed in free agency. Nelson Aguilar joins the wide receiver.
Love that. So bummed they took him from the Raiders.
And so those are some real weapons. N'Keal Harry's been a huge disappointment. They took him late first round a couple years ago. He needs to step up, or your point will be very obvious. But they may well be able to pick up a receiver early in the second round, Elijah Moore.
Yeah, Moore's still there.
Yeah, he probably won't last till 15 in the second round. But there's still some talent at the receiver position. Yeah, they might want another weapon or two to enhance what Mac Jones has around him, because he is a game manager, very good at getting the ball in the right place. All right, when we come back, we're going to have Cole Thompson in studio. We'll talk with him. He's a writer for Fansided and SI. We'll ask him about the draft's big winners last night.